Fast and Furious. That describes the change underway in scholarly publishing. Keeping up with the pace and preparing for what lies around the corner are critical challenges. Open access isn't new, but it is riding the next wave. The momentum for openness is strong, yet the path ahead is far from straight. Information in this dynamic publishing environment is precious. In April, Outsell, a well-regarded research and advisory firm focused on media, information, and technology, released Open Access 2015, Market Size, Share, Forecast, and Trends. Author of the report, Daniel Clare, has estimated the OA titles represent just under 5% of the journal marketplace, yet they clearly punch well above their weight in attracting media attention and generating industry conversation. So with all of that as background, I want to bring in our first guest to the program, Denny O'Clare, who is Vice President and Lead Analyst at Outsell. And Denny, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, we look forward to chatting with you. We read your report and very interested in what you have to report to us. As we say, Denny O'Clare is Vice President and Lead Analyst focused on science and technology for the research and advisory firm Outsell Incorporated. You can follow her or follow Outsell at Outsell Inc., I-N-C. Denny, prior to joining Outsell, held a variety of publishing industry positions, including CFO of a small STM publisher, as well as her own consulting firm serving primarily STM publishing. And, you know, Denny, as we look at the report and we'll learn as well from Mark, there's confusion and competition in this particular marketplace. And a number of points that I know you want to stress. The report that you have published is a follow-up to one that Outsell published in 2012. And it's been 3 years. A lot has happened. Let's take people through what we've learned from your report.
Sure. That's an understatement that a lot has happened. I mean, it has been, I think, revolution as much as an evolution. Open Access has done a lot for publishing. First, to clarify that our definition, Outsell's definition of Open Access, is that it is peer-reviewed research articles as digital, online, free of charge, and free of most traditional copyright and licensing restrictions. We did not include books or data sets. Data is first and foremost, that's it, in people's minds right now. I think that the text part has pretty much been resolved, but we did not include data sets in this report. And I use OA only to refer to journals with no paywall content, and hybrid to refer to subscription journals that include an option to publish open access articles, typically paid for by article processing charges or APCs.
Right, and that's great background because although at Copyright Clearance Center, as well as in the STM publishing community, we've been following this issue for a number of years, there's still a fair amount of confusion, and it's good to lay down a baseline and get people all on the same page as to what we are indeed talking about. And as our next slide shows, for all of that talk and for all of that confusion, it would appear that open access is really only a small piece of that STM market pie, but yet, as we say, it really does punch above its weight.
Yeah, this is the 2014 sizing numbers. So we estimate that the STM market is $26.2 billion, excluding geophysical and geospatial, which Outsell typically includes in STM. But because there's very little open access participation in that space, those disciplines, they're not included for the purposes of this report. The subsegment of that, which is the journals market, we estimate at around $7 billion or $6.8 billion. And open access at $290 million. That's with estimated revenue growth of about 3.5% in both STM journals and the STM market overall.
Well, and one thing I would like to sort of point out to people listening, Denny, is that these numbers are not easy to come by. You had to do a lot of work. There is no one single source for this. This is all, you know, really original reporting by you, and it took some time to gather that.
That's absolutely true. I had to go to individual publisher websites. I did use Scopus. I did use OpenScience. I used every DOAJ. I used every the Directory of Open Access Journals. I used every resource I could get my hands on or find on online to try to get sizing for this. So it did take quite a bit of spade work to come to a number, which I'm pretty confident about.
Right. And I think what that really indicates to us is just how really tremendously dynamic this marketplace is, or this piece of the STM marketplace is. And looking at it, looking at what's really impacting its growth, a first place to touch on would be the so-called mega journals, which sounds like something out of Jurassic Park. What exactly is a mega journal, and what have we been seeing as far as trends there in the last few years?
Right. This is one of the major trends in that open access has caused, which is the rise of mega journals. It began about 10 years ago with the primary identifying characteristic of including articles from varying fields or from one overarching field rather than being discipline or subject specific. Other characteristics include lower selectivity in terms of scientific importance in favor of scientific soundness. And speedier peer review and publication are objectives of most of these mega journals. We found that the growth seems to be slowing as the number of articles slightly declined in 2014 overall for all mega journals added together. But there are several new mega journals that were launched this year, so that may bolster growth back up to previous levels.
Right, and I would imagine that a couple of things impacting all of that. First of all, there's been a fair amount of competition. At one point, just about, it was one or two such mega journals, Public Library of Science being one, and Biomed Central as well. And so, you know, today, as you say, we have seen a variety of new entrants in that mega journal space. Some of them standalone innovators, others published by, you know, legacy publishers, people who've been in the business for quite some time. So the competition there is really grown a tremendous amount.
That's true, but I think a big factor here is that the biggest player, PLOS, the Public Library of Science, I think they had some difficulties handling the volume of submissions, and I think that's what impacted the growth to some extent, is just this one player. I think that has resolved itself, and that's why I think we'll see continued growth coming in the future.
Indeed. Well, we have another slide to show our listeners, our viewers, I should say, which gives us an idea of open access revenues over the last two reporting years. What are we seeing here?
This is the competitive landscape.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Right. So this is just shows sampling of publishers, showing that the number of OA journals, OA-only journals, so open access only, meaning non-hybrid, showed impressive growth from 2013 to 2014, although it was on a small base. Hybrid journals also increased, both in terms of total numbers and as a percent of total published within this group. And subscription-only journal numbers decreased, not because of discontinued publication, but because about 14% were flipped to OA-only or to hybrid. So in terms of growth, OA-only grew about 35% within this group, hybrid grew 9%, and subscription-only declined by 14%. That's in terms of number of journals, though, not in dollars, just to be clear.
Right, and we see a number of familiar names there. We also see one really standing out, which is Springer, which, of course, acquired Biomed Central and really became a dominant player in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
We are speaking right now with Denny O'Clair, analyst with Outsell Incorporated. If you have a question for Denny or for anyone else on the program today, please use the chat box in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, and we'll try to address as many of those questions as we can. At the end of the program, if you've got something you need a quick clarification on, we'll get to that immediately. If you are tweeting, please use the hashtag CCC Open Access, and you can follow Copyright Clearance Center at Copyright Clear. Now, Denny, we've got some more numbers here. We've gone from bars to donuts, depending on your preference. But with these particular donuts, what are we looking at here? These are sampling of journal numbers, and gives us an idea about that distribution of types of publications that you were touching on, OA only, hybrid, and subscription.
Right. This shows an estimated open access revenues in millions ranging from The previous slide was the range of in revenues. This is the numbers of journals indicating that they grew 13 to 14%. When we're talking about revenues, by the way, I think I should clarify that someone asked a question about that. It's not just APCs. Revenues also include sponsorship, sponsored journals. So it's not just APCs. Membership, depending on the business model of the publisher. So it's not just APC revenues. It's also it's article processing charges, but not necessarily by individuals only or by institutions only. It's also sponsorships and membership.
And in your report, you did note that there is this proliferation of business models. There is no one. It's not as if when it comes to open access, one size fits all.
That's correct. There are a number. I think I documented 9 or 11 different types of models in the gold route, and then 2 for green. Green is where it's put in a repository and it's embargoed for a specific period of time, depending on the mandate, depending on the funder, the institution, wherever, whoever has the power over that particular article. So the green is put into a repository until the embargo is up, and then it's public. And typically, it simultaneously appears behind a paywall of the publisher. The gold is immediate access. Once people have paid, once an author or an institution has paid the fee for the article to be published. And the difference between open access and public access is that open access is typically under a CC BY license where it's free to use and reuse, and public access is that it still retains traditional copyright restrictions.
Right. Well, thereby provides us an opportunity to provide some further definition. CC BY, of course, is a very common type of license for open access, a standard applied by Creative Commons, principally of attribution for the article, and that's a very a common license. And really, I think, raises a question which we'll address right now, Denny, which is regarding, the role that funders and their mandates have been playing in shaping this landscape. Publishers have been choosing various models, but in some respects, models have been chosen for them. Talk about that.
Right. The mandates and compliance are both market activities that are developing very slowly. The mandates are slow to come out. Policies have come out, but the mandates are... it's been, 2 years since the OSTP, this is the United States, that the OSTP memo, which is a government agency that said you have to have a mandate around open access, it's been 2 years and still there's only, I think, 3 or 4, maybe 5 agencies that have mandates. Whether that's because funders feel they don't know enough about the market to issue the informed and practical mandates, or because governments and not-for-profits just move slowly, the fact is that they're taking years to be issued, let alone refined, to fit the observed open access market dynamics. And because of lack of infrastructure to support those mandates, compliance is lagging.
Well, compliance has been an issue in this particular area for a number of years, Denny. Indeed, about 2 years ago, April, the Wellcome Trust and the Research Council's UK really reinforced their preference around gold open access by requiring all research recipients or research funding recipients to publish in gold journals or to publish their articles under the gold road. And that was following several years of sort of lagging compliance by the researchers. So this is not an uncommon situation. We've seen this before.
Right. And the issue there is that there may be conflicting mandates between funders. The Wellcome Trust says that if there's multiple funders on a research project and the findings are published, their mandates are the ones that prevail. Well, that's what Wellcome Trust says. What the other funder says might be something else. So,
Right, indeed. And we can certainly understand why authors, as well as, of course, institutions, would find this a very confusing situation. And again, as your report looks ahead to the next several years, you expect this confusion to continue. But there are players coming into the marketplace who are trying to sort all of this out. And so we are seeing a number of startups and a number of new services that are directly applied to the open access world. Tell us about those.
Right. This is one, I think, one of the biggest impacts open access has had on the market is the number of startups and new services and tools that are coming into the market that are the direct result of open access. The shift to digital and those models has caused the dramatic change in the market dynamics. New metrics that support funder mandates, for example, and the new players entering the field to support all these dynamics, including, for example, copyright clearance centers, rights links functionality that enables companies to have a turnkey solution for compliance or for processing APCs. Data visualization, startup Plotly, collaborative authoring tool Authoria, that was started by grad students to address their own unmet needs. Kudos, which is known by most as the platform for research to promote themselves. Altmetric, which is one of the best-known providers of alternative article-level metrics. ReadCube, another collaborative platform that's also a reference manager. And Overleaf, another authoring tool working with challenging applications like LaTeX.
Well, indeed, and what I think unifies all of those is the emphasis on the author. What open access has also done is really introduce the author into the equation in a way that he or she was not before. The author today isn't simply a contributor, they're also a customer.
Oh, yeah, they are a major focus right now of just about every startup is focused on researchers. And there's companies like Research Square that's focused solely on researchers. They're not about developing the commercial market. They're not about working with publishers as much as they are about working with researchers.
And right, and absolutely. And really what this introduces to scholarly publishing is a new way, a new perspective on customer service. The customers in the past, the libraries and institutions, are now finding themselves beside the authors in that customer service pool, and it's really making for some new challenges for publishers, ones they didn't have before. They've gone from the macro to the micro, to put it briefly.
Definitely. There's a lot of money being invested on the commercial level in workflow tools and services and making life easier for researchers.
Well, indeed. So just looking ahead, or sorry, looking at the most recent numbers, rather, so the market growth really spiked there in 2013, and for some of the reasons you've already alluded to, we've seen some slowdown in that growth rate.
Right. We estimate that open access revenues in 2014 grew 15% over the $252 million in 2013, and it grew 47% in 2013. I mean, you can see that it's an upside down hockey stick, which is not unusual for new business models, but this is a steep decline in this case. We don't expect the decline to continue, but we don't expect growth to reach the levels of 2012-13, the initial, quote, gold rush.
Well, indeed, and I think that's a good way to put it, a kind of a gold rush for gold, because as the following screen shows us, the projection is that this annual growth rate will stay at 15%, which is a pretty significant number. Other aspects of publishing would really thoroughly enjoy having 15% growth.
Right. So as you can see here, it's the growth is coming slowly, and I think it will start to pick up again. But what I'm basing that assumption on is actually a few things. One is market awareness of open access is at a saturation point. And I think a big factor here is data sets. I think once there's an infrastructure for supporting data and data sets and housing them, I think that that will really spur growth.
Well, that's interesting because we will hear from Mark Ware in just a moment, Denny, that open access now is just one piece of this larger picture, the open science movement. And I think that's really what you're touching on there with regard to data sets. We're going to see openness spreading throughout the publishing workflow. Let's conclude then with a few predictions of yours for the coming years. Now you're not seeing any kind of settling down. The confusion is going to reign, so to speak, for at least 5 years to come.
Yeah, I think that, 2017, I think it'll start to, after 2017, I think it'll start to pick up a little bit more. I think that's when, as I said, the infrastructure for the spreading openness, so data sets, materials, protocols, I think we'll have that in place where it can support the repository, the depositing of that information, the accessing of that information, and the monetizing of that information. But I think for the next few years that the growth is slowing because, as I said, market awareness, you know, people know about open access. Anybody who is going to use it is going to use it. It's no longer novel. Who are already publishing in OA journals are doing it, whether that relates to speed to publication or the impact factor. There's no funder support for APCs. I mean, some funders will include monies for APCs in their grants, but it's not widespread. There are minimal increases in APCs because of the inelasticity of payer budgets, like the funders, authors, institutions. They can't afford much more. There's already a hue and cry about the high level of some APCs. Societies are still very slow to adopt open access, although I think there is increased momentum within societies to look at it closely and sometimes to dive in. And again, the infrastructure is still being built.
Well, Danielle Clare, thank you for that review of your report for Outsell on Open Access 2015 Market Size Share Forecast Growth. Forecast and Trends.